Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC. I'm Joe Callow. Joining me this week is the one and only former tight end of the New York Giants and one of our co-hosts of This Week in Football. It's Howard Cross, one of my co-hosts for the Big Blue Breakdown. Howard, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm doing a lot better than the Jets are doing right now. After starting off the season hot, the Jets are now 4-5, a very disappointing loss. It seems like every week they're finding new ways to lose against mediocre teams. The Jacksonville Jaguars came into Giants Stadium and just really stunned the Jets with that last-second field goal.
You know what? Didn't really stun the Jets. You have to really think about what's going on in the game. I think a lot of guys are looking at that game saying, like, man, the Jets, how could this happen? Jaguars were in the same position as the Jets. That's the thing you have to look at. So they weren't as bad of a team as everyone believed them to be. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, you know, Chris Jenkins is not in the game. Yeah. So if you run up the middle, there could be a little bit of a void. They ran up the middle. Maurice Jones-Drew did a great job running the ball. It's not like Garrard's going to beat you. You know they're going to beat you running the ball. Find a way to stop the run.
And the Jets were lucky to stay in the game because they did a good job of containing Maurice Jones-Drew for the second half. But if he doesn't fumble on that goal line, you know, after the turnover, then the game is over right there. The Jets, you know, stayed in the game. They marched down the field. They scored with some time left on the clock. And then Garrard was throwing these passes right down the middle, put him in a great position to win the game.
They unfortunately for Rex Ryan, you know, it's vaunted defense and everybody talking and bragging and bravado. You can have all the bravado in the world. If you don't know what you're doing at the moment, you saw in the game the safety screaming, trying to get his guy to get back and get in coverage. He couldn't get him back to get him in coverage. Play goes right down the middle of the field. Great play. You got to understand where you're supposed to be on the field. Everybody has to be on the same page. And all the bravado in the world will not help you win games if you're not doing the right thing. They isolated it on TV. Everybody saw it. He was begging for help. You got to get to the middle. That's what happens.
And a lot of people are going to make a big thing out of what Maurice Jones-Drew did going to a knee, which we saw from Brian Westbrook. It was a very smart move. But what I was questioning was the Jacksonville Jaguars are high-fiving each other before the field goal was kicked. And Howard, you know in this league, it's never a given. I don't care if it's a chip shot field goal. You're not winning the game until you've won the game.
I tell you what, when it's basically, if you think of it like this and you look back at it, it's the same play that happened in the Super Bowl 32, I believe it was, between the Packers and Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
They allowed them to score, thinking the only chance they had was to like let them score to get the ball back to give themselves a chance to win the game. Well, obviously, they all talked about it. They all knew the play. They stopped, took the knee. Brilliant play by the coaching staff to inform Maurice Jones-Drew, because he probably wasn't thinking of that himself. They go in, they kick the field goal. And yes, high-fiving when you're kicking an extra point, very rarely, and I do mean very rarely, get a statistic on that somewhere and let me know how many of those are blocked.
And this has presented such a really weird up-and-down season for the Jets, especially the way the fans think of this team and the way the fans think of Rex Ryan, because they were so high on this team going into the season with Rex's new attitude on how we're not going to stand for, you know, being second best. We're going to be the best defense around. And they started off great, especially with Sanchez, and everybody thought Sanchez was the second coming of Joe Namath. Now, you a former player, and a lot of former players all said, you know, you better just step back and take it easy. You know, the kid has just gotten into the league. Now, you went through that, I remember, when Dave Brown took over, because he won his first couple of games, and then he had a 7-game losing streak. So fans, and especially in New York with the Jets, they have a tendency of overreacting, whether they win a lot or whether they lose a lot. And now, what Rex Ryan has done to this team and the position that they're in now, you know, with crying, addressing the team, I don't know where they stand.
Listen, first off, let's dial it back to why everybody thought there was going to be success. You looked at Matt Ryan down in Atlanta. You looked at Flacco with Baltimore. You assumed already, you know, the kid came in and won a couple games. He was going to be in the same mode. Actually, Rex Ryan came from Baltimore. And when he came from Baltimore, we even got a double bounce of confidence. Here's the problem in that whole scenario. The two players that we're talking about, and Matt Ryan and Flacco, have two coaches who are offensive-minded coaches. Offensive-minded coaches help nurture young quarterbacks. Defensive-minded coaches work on the defense.
Yeah.
So if you don't have this offensive-minded coach to help guide, cuddle, get you through the moment, you can't get through the moment. And that's the problem. So all you Jets fans and everybody else who's listening, you're thinking about this, dial it back and look at what you got. Until you get somebody in who can take the kid under the wing to, you know, spoon feed him the ideal of what he needs to do, you don't have him. You don't have a great rookie quarterback situation. You have a rookie quarterback situation. And everybody just forgot about that. They just ignored that. And that's what, you know, you're seeing what he's doing exactly what he should be doing.
And it doesn't get any easier for the Jets because now they play the angry Patriots, an angry Bill Belichick, an angry Tom Brady this week. In New England, this is a really tough spot for the Jets. What do you think?
I think that they're, you know, forget about them being angry. Let's throw that all out the window. What they play is a healthy Randy Moss, a healthy Wes Welker, and a Tom Brady who's not afraid to step in and throw the ball now. Now, before when you had Chris Jenkins stuff in the middle coming up and doing all these other things, you had a different team. Now you have a team that's basically almost fully reloaded, and they're playing like it. The Jets are going to have a hard time. You're going to see Revis out there on, quote-unquote, Revis's island. Yeah. They're going after him. They're going after everybody, and it's going to be a tough game for the Jets.
Do you think the Jets make the playoffs?
No. I don't think there's no way for them to make the playoffs. I think that, you know, if you listen to Rex Ryan, he's saying he sounds like a player. He sounds like, hey, you know, we're a really good team. We're really good. No, don't talk about that. You tell your team, hey, guys, look, one game at a time. Let's decide about one moment at a time. We do not have time to discuss what's going to happen, you know, 5 weeks from now or 9 weeks from now. We can only deal with this 1 week. And the only way to deal with this 1 week is deal with today. One play, one day at a time. Get everything else out. Dial it all the way back. Lower expectations. Avoid the whole media blitz, what we're doing now. Say, that's great. I understand how you guys feel about it. That's awesome. What are you doing? Well, we're preparing today for the Patriots. We're going through our Wednesday schedule. We're going through our Thursday schedule. We're going through our Friday schedule. We're going through our Saturday schedule. Hey, we're playing the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. What are you doing next week? Monday is our day off. We're going to lift weights and watch film. You know, you have to dial it back. It's not going back or throwing out everything. You just dial it back and focus on what you need to focus on. You know, Ted Ginn Jr. beat them the week before. They weren't focused on special teams. Focus on one day at a time. Let's take care of our details. Let's go out and play.
The Jets are going to need all their focus this week up against the New England Patriots. The Giants, on the other hand, did a great job of sitting back and watching every other team that they need to lose. We're going to be right back and have some Giants talk on Football NYC.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Football NYC. This week joining me is the one and only former tight end of New York Giants, one of the co-hosts of This Week in Football, Howard Cross, and we're going to get into a little Giants talk now. And boy, you really couldn't ask for a better situation the Giants to be in. They're sitting back at home with their feet up last week. They're watching the Cowboys lose. They're watching the Eagles lose. They're watching the Falcons lose. You know, they're in a great spot now by doing nothing last week.
Well, you know what? That is a good thing. You know, my fear is that Before the week happened, they were really, really desperate, trying to figure out how are we going to get back into this. A desperate team, they're back against the wall. You know, you start to focus and drill down to the minute details of every moment. You micromanage every detail. Now they got a little breathing room. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they didn't lose that whole desperation. You still lost four in a row. You still should be desperate. But just because you're back in it, doesn't mean you should lose the desperation.
And you spoke about it last week, about the importance of this Atlanta Falcon game, and it becomes even more important this week. This is a game where I really want to see the Giants come out smoking. I mean, as much as the fans are geared up now because of what happened last week and it puts the Giants in a great situation, the Giants have to realize the situation they're in. And I don't want to see them come out like they did against Arizona with nothing behind, you know, Eli's throws and the offense just running routes. I want to see this team come out smoking. I want to see the fans in this game because this really sets up for an exciting month and a half of football for them.
Well, let's go back to what we were saying earlier about the Jets and think about what they really need to do. They really need to concentrate on what's going to happen. Now you got Aaron Ross, who just got back from injury. Figure out a way to keep him on the field best you can. That way you free up a few more players playing in the secondary in the safety moment. Rouse is in. You know, Brown is out. We don't want to make fun of him, but he's out. He had a tough time there. Now you got guys who can actually cover, a few more cover guys to help out that situation. Another big addition, Canty. Canty putting pressure up the middle with Freddie and everybody in. It's going to make a big, big difference.
Yeah.
It's a big guy, a big body. When you see the kid on Phil, he's a big body. When he stands up, he's blocking the passing lane, forcing quarterbacks to bounce to the right or to the left, giving Tuck, Umanure, and even Kiwanuka opportunities off those edges to get to that guy.
And since we don't have a game to review from last week, mm-hmm. we have some questions from the Football NYC blog from YesNetwork.com from some Giant fans, basically reviewing the first half of the season. So I have one here from Joe Rigg at AOL.com, and he wants to know, why do the Giants play so bad coming off bye weeks?
Why did they? You know, it's a hard thing to come back and just play. When you football is kind of like when you see baseball games or you like guys to play week in and week out to be in a rhythm. You know, the Giants usually are either in a bad rhythm or a good rhythm going into the bye week, and it breaks it. Hopefully this year, you know, by them coming off the bye week, losing three in a row or four in a row, they break that rhythm. They go on the opposite side and go forward. That's the thing you got to look for is, you know, the change in the personality.
Okay. Christopher Marino at Yahoo.com says, my favorite play in football is the screen pass. Why don't the Giants try to use it more?
They don't know how to run it right now. The screen pass is designed for the guys to, like, shed blockers, to tackle on the side of the screen, lets his player come upfield, and the guard in the center roll out, and the back guard roll out into the play to set up a play. After that, the back catches the ball and fits himself between the guard and the center on the outside, and they stay outside because the numbers are great. The Giants, unfortunately, catch the ball, go outside, and head back inside, not acknowledging there are nine guys inside trying to make the tackle. Those nine guys are coming for you. If you stay outside and let those big guys be blockers, it's a good play. The Giants, someone's not teaching that, and you don't see them do that.
And is it also a personnel thing? Because maybe you think Brandon Jacobs is running better screen than Ahmad Bradshaw?
It has nothing to do with it. It's all the same. It's a generic thing. Everybody does it the same way, and teams that really understand it do a good job of it, and teams that don't understand it, you can see them not do a good job of it.
Okay, on the other side of the ball, we have a question from C. Spataro at AOL.com. Why are the Giants' defensive linemen having such a tough time getting to the quarterback this year?
Well, two things. You know, Spags is out. You know, that's tough. Osa Umenyiora, even though he's back, it takes about a full year to ever get your legs back under you. That's problem number two. Problem number three, part of the reason they haven't been as great as they have been in the past, that pressure up the middle just hasn't been there. Freddie Robbins coming off that shoulder injury, he doesn't look the same coming up the middle. You know, Cofield doesn't quite look the same. And you got to remember, Alford was a big-time player coming up the middle. He wasn't just a long snapper on a field goal. He was a big-time player coming up the field. Now you bring Canty in and a couple other guys in. They got to figure out the way not just to be in the game clogging the middle, but to bring pressure up the middle. When a quarterback can't step up, that makes the defensive ends more unproductive.
Okay. I have a playoff question now from T-Mancuso at Verizon.net. Do you think there will be a wild card team from the NFC East this year?
Yeah. I think that right now you got the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. All three teams are going to play pretty well going down the stretch. Atlanta's really got to find a way to stay in it. Green Bay's got to find a way to stay in it.
Yeah.
You know, if Green Bay or Atlanta catch another team, could be trouble. Here's the other problem. Carolina Panthers, the team that we thought were just kind of like packing it up and going home.
That's right.
They're starting to show back
up. They've
done
this before.
You know, Jake DeLong has stopped throwing interceptions. Yeah. And once he stops throwing interceptions, they become a pretty good team.
And a great running game. Yeah, mm-hmm. We saw it before when that big showdown at Giant Stadium last year, you know. The final question is from Goose at AOL.com. Who do you think has been the MVP of the Giants for the first half of this season?
The MVP of the Giants for the first half
overall
of the season.
Overall MVP, offense or defense?
You know, if you really look at it, the kid that got hurt probably was Boley. I think by far the most impactful player. You know, if you think about it, if you try to dictate one guy, but the true MVP for the season, first half season, is definitely Steve Smith. This kid makes plays over and over again. Then, you know, there's a big joke, third and Smith. He's their go-to guy. You know, Plexco's gone. Oh, poor Plexco. Amani's gone. What are we going to do? Steve Smith's just about leading the league in receptions and catches. That's the guy.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some games that stand out to Howard around the NFL this weekend. You're listening to Football NYC on YesNetwork.com.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
We are back with some Football NYC, Joe Callow, Howard Cross, and this is a segment where we like to go around the NFL, take a look back and take a look ahead to the more interesting matchups for this weekend. We look at a Thursday night game, Miami at Carolina. Now, Carolina, the great victory this week is could be right back in the mix of things.
Well, you know, Carolina, a great victory this week could put them back in the mix of things. Also, of a great victory by Miami could kind of put them back in the mix of things. These are two teams from two different divisions that kind of have an effect on both of our New York teams.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets kind of need Miami to lose. They're pulling for Carolina big time. They need to get back into the flow of things, trying to find a way to win a game here and there. You know, eliminating Miami helps them get closer to being a playoff team, a playoff contender. On the opposite side, you got Carolina. You know, they're far and away, nowhere near trying to get back in the thing. You know, New Orleans has won that thing. But Atlanta's struggling.
Yeah.
So if Atlanta's struggling, they can get themselves back into the mix. They could be a playoff team. Those are wild card teams, definitely, and both of these guys affect the wild card position of the Jets and the Giants.
You like the Panthers in this game?
I think in this game, I would hope that the Panthers would win and the Giants beat the Panthers somewhere down the road, but you can't ever tell because the Wildcat is a special kind of formation, and if you don't practice against it a lot, it does bother you.
And Howard, I want to get your opinion on this, being a former player, because it's a Thursday night game and it's a short work week. Do you think this really benefits the home team in this situation?
No, I don't really think it benefits it terribly much. I think because, you know, the day that you don't practice is the day that team travels anyway.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of physical activity. The question is, how far does a team travel?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a long flight, if it's like more than 2 hours, more than 3 hours, whatever that case, If it gets to that point, then that drains on the body a little bit, and the recovery time is a little harder for you to get up the next day and play, but it is a night game. Stay off your feet. You can actually get back into the rhythm and the flow real quickly.
Okay, so we have Howard liking the home team, the Carolina Panthers, in that game, and we have an interesting West Coast matchup, San Diego at Denver. Two teams really going in different directions the past couple weeks because Denver started out so hot, and San Diego always seems to start the season slow. San Diego beating two NFC East teams the last a couple weeks. So who do you like in this game?
You like San Diego in the game, and for the reason why, I think actually Denver's been exposed. I don't think people really realize that Denver kind of had the smoke and mirrors thing going on.
Yeah.
They did play really good defense. Mike Nolan did do a good job, but the fluke play against Cincinnati kind of springboarded them into a pretty good season. They had a lot of games where Kyle Orton did make a mistake. Physical play kind of exposed him a little bit, and the moment people started hitting and getting after these guys, it became like, okay, everything's even again.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to do. Now that Kyle Orton has been banged up a little bit and Sims is in the game, you can see the effects of not playing for the last two-plus years, plus the effects of probably not getting hardly any reps in practice. You saw what happened to Sims. He was like 3 of 13 or something like that. If he has to play this week, at least he'll have all the snaps. But being able to make the right decision against a Baltimore team, you know, that's a San Diego team, that's going to be desperate to make plays. And right now, they got some players over there. You know, Sean Merriman coming out, hadn't done anything all year. And now all of a sudden, he's starting to get his little groove back. I mean, you got some receivers that are 6'4", 6'5", Jackson and those guys. They're going to make plays all the field. And Phillip Rivers is still one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you love him down the stretch in the late part of the games, and you love guys like Antonio Gates, and LT even got a couple of touchdowns last week. So this is a team with a lot of talent. We speak about it every year, how the Chargers have some of the best talent in the league, and you like them in this game against Denver. So do you eventually see the Chargers taking over this division?
I'd see them taking over the division. I actually had picked them, you know, preseason was the sexy pick, but I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay, the last game I want to talk about is the Sunday night game, with the Philadelphia Eagles coming off a tough loss against San Diego, where they really tried to come back in the game, but the lead was too big in the beginning, against the Chicago Bears, which have really been up and down. I mean, Jay Cutler, I tell you, he really has a lot of talent, but sometimes, especially games like last week against San Francisco, where he's just throwing a lot of bad passes.
Well, here's the thing with this. It's all up to Andy Reid. This game is really all about Andy Reid. If Andy Reid says, okay, let's try to formulate some kind of running game, they got a chance. If Donovan McNabb goes out and throws for 500 yards again, they're going to be in bad shape. Yeah. And for whatever reason, they've decided that Donovan McNabb's arm is the way they're going to win games. You know, if you look at the stats around the league, 300-yard passers are usually passing because they're behind or something like that. It's not always the guys that are out there killing guys. 300-yard passers outside of Peyton and Brady don't really just happen. They just don't. You need a guy, a 100-yard rusher, a guy that's going to really put the pressure on the defense, keep the other team off the field. That's how they can do it. The problem is, here's the Jay Cutler. He's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
You know, if you get Hyde, he'll throw a lot of interceptions. If you get Jekyll, he'll throw a lot of touchdowns. And you don't know which guy's going to show up. And he's taking a little onus on himself to say, hey, we've been messing up. And since there's rumors about his coach being in trouble and all this other stuff, he might, you know, get out of that funk of, oh, I'm Jay Cutler, and say, like, hey, let's start winning some games for our coach. He, you know, he's been doing a good job, and it's been my fault. He might take some onus on himself. If he does, it could be a hard game for the Eagles. But I'm still going to pick the Eagles.
Okay, even without Brian Westbrook.
Westbrook, it hasn't been a factor, unfortunately, for the last 3 weeks. And, okay. You know, it has nothing to really do with, you know, what they're doing. If he's in the game, unfortunately, they were throwing it to him anyway. It was like he was running the ball a lot. So it's up to, up to Andy Reid, figure out a way to run the ball, get those other running backs involved. You drafted a running back, use him. If you're not going to do it, Chicago probably will win if Cutler isn't, you know, being high.
All right. Well, thank you, Howard. I look forward to speaking to you next week for our Giants Big Blue Breakdown on YesNetwork.com. And keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for all of your football needs. We have our regular Football NYC show, Big Blue Breakdown with Howard Cross, and our big video broadcast with myself and Joe Arama later in the week. We'll see you next week, folks.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them.